Let's turn then in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, if you would. Ephesians chapter 3. So this is the middle of a letter written by the Apostle Paul, one of the apostles of the early church. And I'm going to read in a moment the opening 13 verses of Ephesians chapter 3. As I said, we come with greetings from Kensington Baptist. We are really thankful, Bradley Stoke, for your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for one another. And we want you to know that we pray regularly for you. It's been wonderful to see the Lord's hand upon you as a church. So I knew, obviously, Tim really well as a fellow pastor. We'd meet regularly with Tim, actually. Pray together. He was a source of great encouragement and example to me. And when Tim felt that call in his family of moving on, that's always a time of transition for a church, isn't it? And it's been so wonderful to see the Lord's hand upon you as a church, as Tim has moved on from ministry, and then Matt with his godliness and Bible thoroughness. What a wonderful pastor now to replace a wonderful pastor. And so we feel really blessed to see the Lord's hand upon you as a church and on David. During that period of transition, what a blessing to have David and the elders and deacons and godly members just prayerfully caring for and blessing one another here at Bradley Stoke. You have much to be thankful for. And I'm going to pray that this reading from Ephesians will just increase that thankfulness and will grow your vision of what it means to be church. Ephesians chapter 3, the first part, can often be an overlooked part of the letter. People can know Ephesians 2 quite well. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's how chapter 2 begins. And the prayer at the end of chapter 3, you see in verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father, and it's a famous prayer, that's well known. And these verses in the middle, at the beginning of chapter 3, can often be forgotten, but they are full of wonderful truth about what it means to be church. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 1. This is the word of God. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles... Right, now he breaks off a line of thought that he picks up again in verse 14. See, look, verse 2. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. That's chapters 1 and 2. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles, that's you and me, okay, anyone who's not a Jew, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me. Now, what were you expecting to hear at Bradley Stoke this morning? The answer is there in verse 8. Verse 8, look. To preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which was for ages past kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, through Bradley Stoke, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers, authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purposes that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. The grass withers, the flowers fall, the word of the Lord endures forever. Let's pray to you. Father, we thank you for your word, your living word. As your word is read, the voice of the living God is heard. And we pray, Lord, as we spend a few minutes now thinking upon your word together, we pray that your Holy Spirit would take that word and plant it deep in our hearts, that together, Lord, we might see something more of the boundless riches of Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Amen. Now, I wonder if you have ever had any work of yours displayed, right? So, something, maybe some writing, you know, written something, a poem, or maybe a piece of artwork. There's some artwork on the walls here, isn't there? Well, there's one on the side there. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Perhaps you've built something and it's been put on display. And at home, I've got some of the artwork of my kids. My youngest daughter, Phoebs, she's 20 now, and she drew something when she was in school, and I think it's absolutely brilliant. And it's up on the wall. It's a copy of a famous work by an artist called Rembrandt. And I'm telling you all now, if you gave me the choice of the original Rembrandt or Phoebe's, I would choose Phoebe every day of the week. And that's saying something, because the original Rembrandt would be worth tens of millions of pounds. Okay? When we put something up for display, we say together, hey, look, this is worth, you should look at this. This is worth looking at. Oh, we say, look, this is special. Everyone, have a look at this. Now, I wonder if it's going to surprise you to discover that God also has put something on display. He's held it up to say, everyone, everything, look at this. Look at it. It's absolutely amazing. And in our text this morning in Ephesians 3 and throughout the Bible, what God has put on display that we read is the church. It is the church. The eternal, infinite, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has said, look at the church. I'm going to display the church, and you are going to be full of wonder and awe at what you see. And Bradley Stoke, as we think about the doctrine of the church, that is true, both universally. When we think of the universal church, we mean the church in all of history, right? All of history, all of the church in all of history, that's a universal church. And it's true of the local church. Every local church that gathers in the name of Jesus, followers of his, display the glory of God. And so, that is true of Bradley Stoke here this morning. Now, just let that sink into your hearts. As you thought about coming here this morning, as you prepared your hearts, as you prayed, as you came, sat in your seat, just think of what we have just said. I am here displaying the glory of God with my fellow brothers and sisters. Now, doesn't that fill our hearts with awe and wonder and praise and comfort and joy and privilege? If you're anything like me, Bradley Stoke, it's very, very easy to come to church in a kind of mundane and, but it's the time you haul yourself out of bed and scurry along to church and you don't give it much of a thought and you kind of go through the church service and you chat to people, you go out again, and it's easy to lose this vision of who we are, of what God is doing here right now. He is displaying the glorious work of his Son for all to see. Amen indeed. And brothers and sisters, we pray as we meet here week by week
that the reality of that, the truth of that, would like fill our hearts evermore and work its way out into our lives evermore. That we would say, oh Lord, make us as your people a wonderful display of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that people in Bradley, Stoke, in the surrounding area, as people walk by, here's a woman now about to walk by the church, might see something of the Lord Jesus and want to find out more about who he is. What makes this people the kind of people that they are? Well, in this chapter, in these 13 verses, what does Paul highlight? The first thing he highlights is, church, you display the grace of God. You display grace. Now, where do I get that from? This is a Bible church. Tim and Dave and now Matt faithfully preach God's word. Look at what I read there in verse 2. Look at verse 2. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. Grace, that's a big Bible word, and Paul has used it a lot already. We'll do a little bit of Bible flipping. If you turn a page back to Ephesians chapter 1, okay, in the opening verses, he has described the glorious saving work of God. Right, let's look at verse chapter 1, verse 4. He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption. That means he brought us into the family of God through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace. There it is. Verse 7, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption. We've been rescued through his blood. Look, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. You see, so Paul has said, hey, look, grace is being given what we do not deserve. God's love given to undeserving people like us. How are we undeserving? The answer is this. All of us are born rebelling against God and his word. All of us are born rebels in God's world. We don't want to know God, anything about him. We want to live our own way. And we live that out through sin. We sin, we disobey God, we do our own thing. And that deserves God's judgment. His right and just judgment for our wrongs. But God is so rich in love and mercy. He sends his son to undeserving rebels like us. And as we've just read in Ephesians chapter 1, Jesus lives the life we could not live. And he dies the death that we deserve. So that through his death, we might find forgiveness for our sins and forgiveness before God and peace with God and welcome into his family. That is grace, brothers and sisters. It is grace, the wonders of God's grace to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul describes it there, doesn't he? He describes, look, the boundless in verse 8, the end of verse 8, look, to preach to the Gentiles, the boundless riches of Christ. He's describing all this and much more, all that Jesus is and all that he has done for us. We display Bradley Stoke, right? For the world, for Bradley, we display the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are nothing. We are rebels. We are undeserving. And God has poured his grace upon us into our lives, and we testify to that. So it means as we gather here week by week, brothers and sisters, we want to be people of grace who rejoice in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who sing our songs with lifted up hearts and voices, who proclaim Jesus. The center point, the focus of this place, of you as a people, the Lord Jesus Christ. I rejoice in seeing that, hearing it of you, hearing it by word, seeing your faithful witness, And I encourage you, Bradley Stowe, to continue in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, to lift him high, to make known his gospel, and, brothers and sisters, to live out that grace in your lives together. As you have received grace, so we give grace. We are, as a church, a forgiving people. I mentioned starting the day, didn't I? Coming to church this morning. Well, I tell you, coming to church in the morning, if it's anything like the Price household, it can be a frenetic, frantic activity. There can be lots of to-ing and fro-ing, and are people ready, and are we aware of the time? It's very easy to get a bit cross with one another, isn't it? And a lack a bit of forgiveness, get a little bit quick and harsh in our language. It's easy, of all things, when we are preparing to come to church, to be in the most unprepared manner. Our hearts full of other things. Our hearts very graceless. And then when we come and meet with God's people, it's so easy, isn't it, for the focus to be on us and what we think should be happening and what we want and how we're being treated. Is this person, has that person offended me? And to be graceless as a family of God. Brothers and sisters, may, as we've received grace, we treat one another with grace. We encourage and build each other up in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come through those doors at the back, as we come through these doors in the front, may the prayer in our hearts be, how can I minister the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people sitting next to me? As the service concludes, how can I turn? How are you doing? How can I pray for you? How is following Jesus going for you right now? The church displays the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, brothers and sisters, the church displays the family, the community of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that very clearly, didn't we, in the language that Paul uses. In verse 6, look at verse 6. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles, now look at the language he uses, are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. You see what's repeated there, the word that's repeated? Can you see it in verse 6? It's the word together. Together, as part of the family of God, we display to a world what it means to know Jesus. That's why I was so blessed by Margot leading us and taking us to John 13 and reminding us that it's together in unity that we display this grace. And we see three little pictures that are used there in verse 6. Do you see it? As members and sharers. Heirs, brothers and sisters, reminds us that we have a wonderful inheritance. When we trust in Jesus, our sins are forgiven, we are right with God, and Bradley Stoke, we have the promise of eternal life. Eternal life. As I get older, you know what, I find myself thinking of eternity more and more. And when I Eddie Jordan, for example, I found myself reading obituaries more and more. I don't know if you all do that. I like doing it in the Times. Eddie Jordan, most of us know the name of Eddie Jordan. He died this week, 76. An Irishman. He was brilliant. Formula One racer, driver, and owner. He owned a group. What do they call it? He owned a team. He owned a team and was a very, very rich man. And I read of Eddie Jordan's life, and you find yourself asking, when you saw the day he died in Cape Town, South Africa, where is Eddie Jordan now? Did Eddie Jordan know Jesus? Did he have that inheritance, that hope of eternal life? Last Saturday evening, late in the evening, I got a call because one of our members, Liz Moody, was dying with cancer. So I got out of bed And I drove to the hospice, and Liz, she had just hours left to live. And she was a frail, dying, relatively young woman, 71. But Liz knew Jesus. Liz had she'd said, I'm trusting in Jesus as the one who's died for my sins. I'm living for him as my king. And so Liz had this wonderful inheritance, this sure and certain hope that death was not the end, that eternal life was hers. And last Sunday morning, early in the morning, she passed from this life into the glory of the Lord. And she heard those wonderful words from her Savior, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." That's the inheritance that is ours. Now, a man a couple of centuries ago, 300 or 400 centuries ago, called Thomas Brooks, he said, and this will help you, Bradley Stoke, he said, hey, listen, imagine there was a man who was on his way to a city and he was going to inherit a vast fortune, a massive fortune, and he could see the city coming up. He was not far from it at all. He saw the city, and the cart that he was in as he's approaching the city broke down. The wheel broke, and he has to get out of the cart and walk the last few little steps of the journey to the city. And imagine that as he's walking, all he does is grumble and complain. This stupid cart, it broke down, I can't believe it. Now I've got to walk. This is real frustration, real annoyance. I'm so fed up, that cart, as he's walking. We would think there was something very surprising about that man, wouldn't we? Because we would say to each other, he's just a few steps away from this glorious inheritance. Why is he grumbling and complaining? And Thomas Brooks says, yes, Christian, in this short life that you live right now, as you make your way to that glorious inheritance, may we not grumble and complain, but may we as a church family say together, what an inheritance we have in Jesus. That's where we're going. That's where we're heading. We're full of joy. Yes, there's tears. Yes, there's struggles. Yes, there's trials. Yes, there's fleeing from sin. But underneath that and all around it is this joy in the inheritance that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we travel there, as we're heirs, we are also, look, members. Members of one body. So we display the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ together as a body, as members. That's who we are. Bradley Stoke, each one of us is a vital part of this church family. Each one of you is loved and needed. Isn't here at Bradley Stoke some kind of gradient of Christians? Or people who are more Christians than others, or people who are kind of more special than others. We are together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has given you, Christian, gifts that he calls you to use in the life of this church. You are needed. You are needed to use those gifts. You are missed when you are not here. You are missed when you are not present. Your gifts are missed. Your love for the Lord Jesus Christ is missed. We are called together to serve the Lord. Imagine if I woke up one morning and my arms had said to the rest of the body, "Body, we're not going to be involved today. We're not going to help out. You'll just have to make it through the day on your own." And I went into the day without the of using my arms. Think about what difficulties that would bring, what troubles that would bring. Oh, so it's true for us that we are members together of one body and sharers in the promises of the Lord Jesus. We live together. We display the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ together, trusting in the promises of God, trusting in all that he has said and done. Now, brothers and sisters, may we be a people of the Word who know the Word, who know these promises at the end there of verse 6.
that claim the promises, that say we know God's word and what it means to follow and trust and depend on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Church, we are called to be a witness to the world that says the church is the only hope of the world. You think of our communities, they're full of struggle and difficulty at the moment, aren't they? When we read our newspapers, when we watch our televisions, we think of the challenges of Russia and Ukraine, we think of the US, the economy, we think of people so concerned about the future, we think of very often what our fractured communities can look like, the polarization that we can sometimes feel in our communities. The church should be, oh, such a wonderful, distinct people who show the love and mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bradley Stoke, pursue that. Seek living in God's grace. Seek growing in God's faith. Seek displaying the love of God to each other, that you might be a wonderful witness to those around you, to those who know you, those who come across your path, those who meet with you, those who come in through the doors, that you might display together the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, Bradley Stoke, as I come to an end, is to display God's wisdom. That's what God is doing. He is displaying his wisdom through the church. Look at the end of verse 8. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven on earth under Christ. Sorry, that was chapter 1. So chapter 1, verse 10 in your Bibles, if you look at his aim, his goal in chapter 1, verse 10, look, is to put into effect the unity of all things in heaven and on earth. And now if you turn back to chapter 3, verse 10, look at what this looks like, all things coming under the Lordship of Christ. Verse 10, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to all the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purposes that he accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, see that phrase there, in verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10, the manifold wisdom of God. That Greek word manifold was often used to describe the intricate patterns of embroidery, cloaks and clothes, kind of a beautiful range of diverse textiles and materials. And so when Paul speaks about the manifold wisdom of God displayed in the church, he says, look, people from all kinds of diverse cultures and backgrounds, nations and peoples, together they display the wonder of the gospel. So we speak about the grace of the Lord together displaying the manifold wisdom of God. People from all kinds of situations and backgrounds coming together, a multicultural church, loving and serving, listening to one another, learning from each other's cultures, growing in understanding together of what it means to know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we want to be a church, don't we, that displays the wisdom of God in people from all backgrounds and cultures making Jesus Christ known. And that wisdom of God is displayed to the heavenly realms. So this is a spiritual display that in the heavenly realms, the angels look in awe and wonder at what God is doing. The demons, terrified and dismayed to see the wonder of the church that God has put on display. This is a diverse display, a spiritual display, an eternal display. So as I close, I pray that I've encouraged you to be church, to grow in being church, a church of grace that together displays the wisdom of God, a church of grace in the Lord Jesus, that together as members of this body displays the wisdom of God, people from all nations, all cultures, for all eternity, making Jesus Christ known. As I come to pray, I want to leave you with this. How does the church display this grace together, this wisdom? I think this might surprise you as I close. And the answer is, as we suffer, as we walk the way of the cross for Jesus Christ. Look at how Paul begins and ends this passage. Chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. Look at how he ends it in verse 13. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings, which are your glory. Brothers and sisters, Bradley Stoke, the way of Christ is the way of the cross. The cross is before the crown. The gospel, following Jesus, calls us to count the cost of dying to ourselves daily, picking up our crosses, and following Jesus Christ. Saying no to our own wants and desires, our sin, saying no to the devil, living distinct lives in the world that Jesus Christ might be praised. I wish as a young Christian, I'm looking at these three boys here right on the front, who listened really, really well to me. I wish that someone had told me when I was these young lads' age that much more clearly. And said, Simon, the way of following Jesus, there is cost. There will be a laying down of your life. It is to take up the cross of the Lord Jesus and follow him. I wish someone had helped me understand that, so that as I go through times of trial and difficulty, I might know God is at work in me. This is his pattern. Bonhoeffer said, when Jesus calls a man or a woman, he bids them come and die. Which is just the New Testament, isn't it? That as we lay down our lives in service of others, as we fight the good fight, as we put sin to death, as we willingly give things up for the sake of the gospel, as we die to our wants and wishes, so the display of God's grace is being worked out in our lives and being worked out together as a people. I wish people had explained the role of suffering to me in the Christian life more clearly. Now, God is not the author of wickedness, but God sovereignly rules over all things. And Romans 8, works all things for the good of those who love him. Oh, we may encounter, dear friends, together, as we follow the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we may encounter all kinds of difficulties and trials. In a room with this many people, there will be all kinds of trials and difficulties. But we trust that God is at work in us, displaying his grace, working out his purposes. And brothers and sisters, the way is short. The time is short. We are heading to an eternal kingdom where we, with perfect joy and bliss, will be with Jesus forever. So, Bradley Stoke, display as a church the grace of the Lord. Do that together in the wisdom that God provides. And as you suffer, as you know suffering, patiently look to Jesus, who will be your strength and song, and who will gently lead you all the way to that heavenly land. Let's pray together before we sing. Father, we want to thank you together as we have gazed upon your word at the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we rejoice in that grace. And we pray, Lord, we might minister that grace together. We might encourage and build each other up in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that that might display the wisdom of God in all our diversity here. We might learn from one another and grow together and be, Lord, that picture to the heavenly realms of what it means to know Jesus. And Father, through the difficulties and hardships of life, may we press on to take hold of Jesus, who has taken hold of us. We thank you for his death and resurrection. We thank you that the Lord Jesus has changed everything. We put our faith in him, and we pray these things in his name. Amen. Amen.